This morning we're going to skip over a portion of Proverbs chapter 23, which we have dealt with a few times in the last while, and that is the matter of drinking alcoholic beverages. And eventually I want to do another study on this and incorporate a few other elements to it. Some things we've been learning in our Bible Institute, for instance, have been really beneficial in adding some historical context. So we'll pick it up again in the future. It's one of those things where it's a matter that needs to be discussed from time to time as the world creeps into churches and Christians start to contemplate using alcoholic beverages. So we're going to pick it up in Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. If we could stand for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come before you, we think of some principles here about the company that we keep. Lord, we ask that you'd help each one of us to be so careful about the type of company that we keep, the reasons for it, and Lord, that we would just exercise great caution. Lord, that we would seek after wisdom, and that we'd seek to build up our house, both, Lord, the spiritual house that we are to build in our own homes as families and our own church. So Lord, we just pray you'd help us to build up and not tear down. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. Be those that cannot be here, we ask that you would be with them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. We're starting in verse 1 there. Be not thou envious against evil men. Now, why would a person be envious of an evil person? And if you go through the Psalms, you'll probably know the answer, because so often the evil seem to be living under good circumstances. They're living with no cares, no concerns, no troubles. They have everything they want, or at least they seem to have everything they want. As you dig deeper into it, of course, you start to learn that there is a big hole in their heart. They try to fill that hole with material wealth and pleasures, and it's still not filled. And so here, Solomon is telling his son, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. And there'll be people in your life, in my life, that we'll look at and we'll go, oh, I know that there's some issues in their life. I know that they're proud, or I know that they blaspheme God's name. I know that they swear. I know that they party. I know they do this, they do that. But there's this thing about them that I respect, I look up to. And, you know, it might make a person want to be with them, want to emulate them, want to have what they have. And here Solomon's saying, Don't desire. I mean, implied is here is also even the aspect of don't desire their possessions. Don't desire what they have, but don't desire to be with them. Well, you know, like, what have you got to gain from them? And sometimes people will say, oh, but, you know, they've helped me in this area of my life. They've helped me in that area of my life. Oh, yeah, but what damage have they also done in your life? Or what damage could they do to your life if you were to be around them? Be not thou envious against evil men. Let's take a look at some verses. So in the same chapter of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. So there's a couple aspects of that one. Don't fret ourselves because of evil men. Don't be worked up. Don't be upset. Don't be anxious. As believers, We're not to be anxious about anything. We're not to be fearful. We're not to fret. You know, if we have the Lord as our Savior, He has bought for us, He's paid for us, well, guess what? He's promised to take care of us. He's promised to meet our needs. He's promised to protect us against the evil. So we have no right, we have no reason to fret ourselves because of evil men. But also, again, excuse me, neither are we to be envious at the wicked. We're not to envy what they have. Envy the apparent joy that they have. And of course, you understand what I mean by apparent, because there's oftentimes it's not true joy, is it? Okay, let's take a look at going back and look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 31. Envy not thou the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. So we don't envy the oppressor. We don't choose any of his ways. Again, sometimes people have a mindset that, you know, it's kind of like a means to an end. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know, I understand that person's wrong. I understand they're in sin. But, wow, they really do good at this. And they, you know, maybe I can learn from them. You know what we can learn from? We can learn from good, godly examples. That's where we get our nourishment. That's where we learn from. We don't learn from wicked people. So, envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Jumping forward to Proverbs chapter 23, we have to kind of deke backwards, and now we're coming forwards again. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, and be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And of course, contrasting statements in Proverbs all the time, right? Most of the time. Sometimes it's a comparison. But here's a contrasting statement. We're told, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So instead of envying sinners, be in the fear of the Lord. And guess what? He'll meet our needs. Okay, sorry, I didn't arrange these verses that well. So let's jump back into Psalms now. Psalms chapter 37. I usually try to have them chronologically. Psalms 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Under the inspiration of the Lord, Solomon is basically passing on wisdom that he received from his father. Very similar, isn't it, this sentiment here? So don't be fretful because of the evil workers. Neither be envious of them. Verse 7 of the same chapter. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Notice there, that's part of it, is the apparent prosperity of the wicked. It can cause us to be envious of them. And then jumping forward to Psalms chapter 73, verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. I think it speaks of there's no pain in their death. It's not constricting. But their strength is firm. Again, that is on the surface, the way it seems. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out in fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. That's what it seems like, right? They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. So David here is, he's kind of looking at that and saying, well, it would seem like I have walked in innocency and I have cleansed myself from sin for nothing, when these people prosper in their sin. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And you know, the Christian life sometimes feels that way, where it's like, I don't get it. And you're saying to yourself, how can this happen? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And you look at the others, they're like, ah, life's good. You know, we're getting ready to go to Disneyland, or we're getting ready to do this, or we're getting ready to do that. And, you know, life is just so good. And, I mean, the life of the believer is good. And the Lord gives joy, unspeakable, full of glory. But there are trials along the way, and it's meant to refine us. But so often we don't want to be refined, do we? We don't want the pain that goes along with it. So David here is saying, you know, I do all these things, and yet the wicked prosper. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went unto the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Then I understood their end. It's just for a time. The pleasures of sin for a season. I mean, think about it. Remember, our life is so short. It might seem like it's long, but it's so short. And to think about that wicked person who, well, most likely is an unsaved person. I mean, a saved person can sin, but they cannot continue in sin without God's chastening hand. And if they continue past the chastening, God may elect to even take them out of this world. But under most circumstances, this wicked person is the person who is never truly saved. And they're going to burn forever in hell. And so David's saying, well, then I understood their end. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You know, my dad talks about one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. A slippery place. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. And I was a beast before thee. I was like an animal. I wasn't thinking. Nevertheless, I am continuing with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Don't desire the wicked. Don't want it. Don't desire their company. But instead desire the Lord. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. This was a psalm that I read and meditated on some this week. But you notice there, David, if for a time, is going, well, why? Why do they prosper? He goes, I do all this good. I pain myself in by having the Lord examine me and washing from my sins. And I go through trials and tribulations, and yet these people seem to have no problems at all in life. And then he goes, oh, then I went into the sanctuary. And of course, you know, we don't have a temple as they did in that time frame, but there's some of the same is accomplished by just getting alone with the Lord in prayer, in devotions, in drawing into the secret place of the Most High. And then we go, oh Lord, now I see, now I understand. And then where we are reminded that our strength, our companionship is supposed to come from the Lord, not from the world. Okay, just give me one moment here, please. Okay, jumping backwards now, thinking through the second half of this verse, so be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Jump into Psalms 26, verse 9. And as you turn there, just thinking about in the Old Testament also about the example that we have of Lot, who drew himself to a wicked people, those that God abhorred, the Sodomites, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pitched his tent towards them gradually, and then at some point in time, he moved in to Sodom and was there with them, and his righteous soul was vexed by their actions. He shouldn't have been with them in the first place. We're not to desire to be with them. Psalms 26, verse 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. He goes, I don't want to be around sinners or bloody men. And I think he could even be speaking here of, you know, that he doesn't want to be found in death, you know, when he's gathering my soul. With those people. Some of our children the other day were talking about if they had to die, where would they like to die? And one of them said, in a donut shop. Well, David's saying here, I do not want to be found with the wicked, with the sinners. I do not want to die in their presence. We're not to desire to be with them. Let's take now a look into that familiar passage in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 11, 15. Again, this is actually 10 through 15. Solomon speaking to his son. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance and shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have all one purse. Let's have a communal purse. Let's pool our resources. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And as parents, for those of us that are parents, we'll be so careful about who we allow our children to be around. You know, we've mentioned before that, for instance, sleepovers can be a very dangerous thing to have. I really do not recommend sending our children to your children, our children, anywhere, you know, to have sleepovers with other people and where you're not monitoring conversations. Remember, the scripture says that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. And it's you got to be so careful in who our children are associating with. And it's not just a matter of looking at, oh, those wicked children over there. I mean, our own children could say things to others that they ought not to. So we've got to be very careful in the relationships that we allow our children to have. You think of, and we'll close with this here, Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You notice again that progression. He's walking, he's kind of alongside, he's sort of walking with them. He's still kind of going, I don't know. Yeah, I can always walk away, but I'll just kind of walk sort of close by, I'll listen. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now he's standing with them. He's not just kind of walking alongside. He's standing with them He's on their side. Now, he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's sitting down. He's at ease. He's comfortable. Lot sat in the gate. He sat with them. Perhaps, most likely, he thought he could do some good there. When he should have just taken his family and said, "Whoa, this place is wicked. Let me out of here." But instead, he sat with them. Even though it bothered him, even though it vexed his righteous soul, he still stayed with them. And we see what he lost his family. Those that were married died in the inferno. He lost his wife, who turned her back, looking back towards the city, and his own daughters fell into grievous sin. Notice verse 2 of Psalms 1, that familiar verse. But his, so remember, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There again is knowing the end of the wicked. What's going to happen to them? But instead, let's be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that doesn't have rot. You know, you look at some trees, they look nice on the outside, they're flourishing, and then something happens, a storm comes and breaks them down, and you're like, whoa, that was 50% rot on the inside. But this tree here is sturdy, it's strong. It brings forth fruit, its leaves are not wrinkled and withered. We've had sometimes fungus that's come by and you curled up your leaves, or you get the aphids and they suck the life out of your leaves and shrivel them up, and it's terrible. And well, sometimes people can be like that too. But let's be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Let's be very careful to handpick those that we associate with, that we're not envious of evil men, and that we don't desire to be with them. We can try to reach them for the Lord as far as giving them the gospel and telling them the way of salvation. But let's not be part of them. Let's not be with them. Let's not be socializing at a same level as them. Okay, well, let's close there and be very, think about who we associate with. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be like this person that's planted by the rivers of water, that we would not be walking with sinners, not standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the sea of the scornful, that we would not be envious of the wicked and their apparent success in life, but Lord, that we would understand their way. Help us to dwell with you in your secret place. Help us to enter into your sanctuary. Help us to develop that fear of God, as we read. And Lord, that we would see their end. It's just temporary. And they'll take nothing with them, nothing. And Lord, they'll be tormented forever and ever. So Lord, help us to be satisfied with this life, and more than satisfied. And Lord, help us to thrive like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Guard our relationships with our children as well, Lord. Help us to exercise wisdom there. Lord, we ask that you go before us as we go into our morning worship service, that you would be with any that are traveling still for safety on the roads, and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.